Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Today I'm joined by a couple of our champions, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins. Woj is going to join me in a second, and we're going to discuss the blockbuster trade from last night. Also coming up, with Anthony Davis and LeBron both extending their deals with the Lakers, are there more titles on the way? The players will chime in on that in just a bit. First, though, welcoming in our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. You broke this Russell Westbrook-John Wall trade story last night. How did this deal come about?
Rachel, it came together quickly yesterday afternoon. Rafael Stone, Houston's GM, Tommy Shepard, Washington's GM, hadn't really had a conversation about this potential trade since right before the draft. Thad Fouché from Wasserman, who is Russell Westbrook's agent, helped to get those two talking again yesterday. And essentially, they knew what the deal would be, which would be one for one, Westbrook and Wall. And they got the draft protections down. They were going to do one first round pick up in the future, 2023, protected. And they got a deal done there within just a few hours. Pretty rare for a deal of this magnitude to come together so quickly. But they were on the trade call within 3 or 4 hours from first talking yesterday.
Wow. And of course, everybody wants to know about the dominoes that follow it, right? So what does this Westbrook trade mean for James Harden and his future status with the Rockets?
The Rockets really don't know. They're hopeful that a healthy John Wall, a John Wall who regains his all-star form, is somebody that James Harden's going to want to play with and stay longer term. And they've made some other moves, certainly roster-wise in Houston. They got Stephen Silas is their new coach. But the one thing that the Rockets have going for them, it's a little different than Washington, is they have Harden under contract for at least 2 more years. And that buys them some time to try to get this moving in the right direction. They don't want to trade James Harden. They've never really backed off of that. And so they want to give it time. John Wall's been out of the league for 2 years. And as good as maybe he's looked in pickup games in the offseason, that's not NBA basketball. And you would imagine it's going to take some time and then some time learning to play with James Harden. But for Houston, I think for both teams, they felt it was a trade they had to make. Each point guard wanted to be in the other place. And it's hard to win in this league with guys who just don't want to be in town anymore.
You made me think of something, Woj, when you mentioned the agents who were involved in the Westbrook-Wall deal. James Harden still doesn't have an agent right now. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Does that influence sort of how brokering gets done in the NBA if there's no agent involved?
It's a good question. And he has like a business manager. He has a family that works alongside with him. But yeah, he doesn't have a formal agent anymore. And, Rob Pelinka was his agent previously before Rob went on to run the Lakers. But he's made it clear to them where he stands. That's that he wants a trade. He wants a trade to Brooklyn. That's not in the offing right now. He has been in Houston, the center of that organization, both on the court and off the court for years. And so they want to find a way to keep him, and they'll see how this Wall experiment goes. They know there's risk in this trade. Again, this is a player coming off serious injuries, out for 2 years. They're hopeful that a healthy John Wall is someone that James Harden decides he wants to play with, but they don't know for sure.
Well, you mentioned Rob Pelinka, so let's move on to the Lakers, because, boy, Rob Pelinka had quite an exceptional offseason. This morning, you also broke the news of Anthony Davis taking the full 5-year max from the defending champs. I remember you reporting on our free agency special, Davis was going to take his time to make his decision, had multiple options before of how he wanted to structure this. How did him and his camp come to 5 years as opposed to taking something shorter?
Well, obviously the guaranteed money, and you can do a shorter deal, but there is always risk based on injury, based on a lot of factors. You're guaranteeing yourself $190 million with this deal and a chance to go back potentially in the free agency. There's a player option, early termination option on the deal after the fourth year. Mm-hmm. So he'll be 32 years old. He can do a new deal with the Lakers or go into free agency. And go back and get, you would think, if he stays healthy, another max deal. And so I think the security of those 4 years, LeBron James obviously signed up for just 1 year less than him. Mm-hmm. Hey, he wanted this trade to the Lakers. He got there. He won a championship. There's nowhere else he wants to play right now. I think it made sense to them to make that longer commitment to L.A.
Well, the rich get richer, and by the rich, I really mean everybody involved in that discussion. Woj, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Rach.
If any more bombs drop in the next hour, we'll be here. I just want to point that out. Thank you so much.
I'll be here, too.
Okay. Excellent. I want to bring our players back in, and I want to start with you, Richard. Is Westbrook for Wall a good idea for both teams, one team, either team? How do you see this trade?
I think it's a great move for Washington. Look, we've seen what Russell Westbrook can do. He can take a team on his back. It also puts Bradley Beal in a position to just do what he does, and that is score and shoot at a high level. I actually really, really like this pickup for the Washington Wizards. Now, the Houston Rockets, that's a completely different story. And with all due respect to John Wall, he is very similar to Westbrook, but not quite as good as Westbrook. Plus, he's coming off two major injuries, including an Achilles. So explain to me how this could be even remotely close to a good deal for Houston. I just don't see it. I think that this is just another step of them trying to change the entire organization, and I believe that James Harden is next.
Well, RJ, you speaking the gospel, and I was going to get on you about your plain white wall with no Christmas decorations on
Very
it.
Very sad.
But I'm going to let you make it because you speak. Yeah, I'm going to let him make it, Rachel, because he's speaking the gospel. But Washington, in my opinion, won big in this deal. When you talk about Russell Westbrook, a guy that already knows Scottie Brooks, has a great relationship with him, respects Scottie Brooks along with Robert Pack. Those two guys could hold Russ accountable. And like Richard said, Bradley Beal is going to benefit tremendously playing alongside Russell Westbrook, like Paul George did a few years ago when he was in MVP conversation. And now you have spacing over there with David Bertans, who's one of the most deadliest three-point shooters in the game today, a young stud in Rui Hachimura, and all these young pieces. You have a spark plug off the bench in Ish Smith, a dog who they call on the defensive end in Troy Brown. So I like the makeup of the Washington Wizards team. You add a Russell Westbrook, a Ferrari engine to this ball club, and guess what, Rachel? It brought chocolate back to Chocolate City.
Well, look,
okay.
You make...
I don't know what that means.
I do. I'm from D.C. Perk, I got you. Look,
no,
you make a good point, Perk, about Russell Westbrook being a known quantity, right? Like, we know what his faults are. We know what his strengths are. We know what his injury issues are. John Wall is such an unknown quality. So for the Wizards, having that known quality in Russell Westbrook, that partnership with Scottie Brooks, I think really is going to be a strength for them. And for whatever reason, the John Wall-Bradley Beal partnership, which has never worked great, isn't apparently something they want to continue with all the reporting about Wall asking for a trade. So even if you just got rid of a possibly contentious situation, that is a good thing. For Houston, this is a huge gamble because we have no idea what John Wall is going to be. John Wall, frankly, doesn't know what John Wall is going to be. The injury history of guards in particular, coming back from Achilles injuries, is not good. So he will have to buck that. I do think for John Wall, it is a good change of scenery. The weight of everything that happened with him in D.C. If he came out this season and, let's say, really played healthy and like his own self, he would be having to battle the expectations of not just this season, but the weight of his entire history with the team. And this way, he has a fresh start as well. So good for John Wall. Good for the Wizards. I don't know yet if it's going to be good for the Houston Rockets. I will say, and we're watching this right now, this Dear D.C. letter from Wall. He was such a force in the Washington community, and I'm from that area. You guys know this. I do want to take just a second and commend the fact that he put himself out there over and over and over again over the last decade, whether it was recently for voting rights and civil rights issues, childhood hunger, low-income housing. He has done so much for the city of D.C. that I know there are a lot of people there who are giving him a salute on the way out. And They'll see what happens with Russ now. All right, guys, I want to switch over to our coast, the West Coast here. Yesterday, the Lakers and LeBron James agreeing to a two-year extension. You heard Woj mention it, $85 million. It will keep him in the purple and gold through 2023. Ooh. And as I did discuss with Woj, AD and the Lakers, full five-year max extension, keeping him with the franchise until 2025. So, Perk, how many more titles can the Lakers win with this duo? Because LeBron is on four now, and you know who's at five and six, respectively. Just saying.
Right. And look, to be honest, I see the Lakers winning at least two titles, Rachel. And here's why. Yes, because of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but I want to mention Rob Pelinka. He has done a great job in this offseason. He went out in free agency and did his thing. I mean, he went out like the Lakers lost the championship. He went out like the Clippers should have did in the offseason. Acquiring Montrezl Harrell, signing him, getting Dennis Schroeder, getting Wesley Matthews at $3.6 million, getting rid of Danny Green contract at $15 million, re-signing Anthony Davis, right? A 27-year-old generational talent that's just hitting his prime. So he's signed, he's locked in for 5 years, and the Lakers are probably going to get 3 to 4 years of AD in his prime.
Yeah, no, Rob Pelinka did a great job. Again, that was, you know, maybe there was some Rich Paul, maybe there was some Bron, but yes, you definitely need to give some love to Rob Pelinka for some of the moves that were orchestrated here, because the Lakers were the biggest winner in free agency, and that's very random, that the team that wins the championship is also the winner in free agency, so that should be scary. Now, there's always going to be, like, how do they mesh, chemistry, new roles, that part is yet to be seen, but I don't want to put championship numbers on it. If they don't win one more championship with this pairing and this group of players, it will be a disappointment. But Perk, you know how hard it is to win. Would I be surprised if they won two more? No. Am I gonna, the two, they could win three. Shoot, they should be the favorites every year. They don't have a team quite yet that's like the Golden State Warriors when they had Kevin Durant. When they had Kevin Durant, as long as they stayed healthy, nothing was going to stop them. This is still going to be a team that has to work, that has to fight, that has to get better. So I think over the course of this Bron extension and AD's contract, I think the championship one, I think, is what they should focus on. And then after that, anything other than that is just gravy.
Well, they have so much going for them, right? They have obviously such a strength with LeBron and AD as the core of that team. It makes free agents want to come to you. It makes players want to come to you in a trade. It makes guys want to take less money to fit into the organization. But it's more than that. They have clarity. And that is what we have seen has been missing in so many locker rooms, right? Everybody knows what their job is on this Lakers team. And I think LeBron's first season in L.A., there was obviously a lot of lack of clarity. And even the previous offseason, it's fantastic that it ended in a championship. But obviously, there was some lack of clarity in that previous offseason. And now they've had great clarity in this offseason setting up the team. So I just think that that's a huge organizational advantage for them. And it's to their credit, to LeBron and AD's credit, and to Rob Pelinka's credit. And, of course, let's not forget Frank Vogel's credit to set everything up that way. They have such a strength going into this year. All right, guys, we have such a strong show going into this show because coming up, we're going to be talking about our Christmas Day schedule, friends. Welcome back to The Jump. The NBA schedule, guys, is going to be released through the All-Star break tomorrow, right here on this show, on The Jump. But we already have some key opening week games revealed, starting with opening night. Let's take a look. December 22nd on TNT. Kevin Durant finally making his official Nets debut, gets to face his former team, the Warriors, followed by ring night here in L.A., Clippers facing the champion, L.A. Lakers. Then on December 23rd, Giannis and the Bucks facing the Celtics on TNT. CP3 making his debut for the Suns against Luka and the Mavs on ESPN. That'll be a great game. We get to Christmas in a little bit, but Perk, the first game of the entire season, we get to see the Nets and the Warriors face off. Which team would you say has more pressure on opening night?
Oh, it's the Brooklyn Nets. Look, Rachel, the world is ready to see Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving play the game of basketball together. I want to see this team. I know you want to see this team. I know RJ want to see this team. The world is waiting to watch the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a number one. I think if Klay Thompson was healthy, I think that would put a different focus on the Golden State Warriors. And that's on unfortunate. Get well soon, Clay, man. We miss you on the court. The game of basketball misses you. But, you know, we also get Kevin Durant back. And that's what everybody has been talking about for a year. Understand, this man was in the conversation as the best basketball player on the planet. And this wasn't the, you know, great stretch by Kawhi. Is he the best player? No, this is Kevin Durant doing it for year after year after year and winning championships with the Golden State Warriors. So I really, truly believe that the Nets, they have to prove that all of that chemistry we saw with the Clippers, they were loaded. They had a bench. They had a marquee coaching staff. They had two superstars. They had the reigning finals MVP. And they were up down. They were up 3-1 and lost to a Denver Nuggets team. So it doesn't matter how loaded the Brooklyn Nets are. They have to put it all together. And that's going to fall on Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
Look, I feel like I've been seeing previews for this team. It's like with when the Marvel movies started coming out and they kept teasing, like, there's going to be an Avengers movie. They're all going to team up, we promise. And it was at the end of every movie, and you're like, get to it already. And yes, here we are. They are finally going to get to it. I am so excited to see what this Nets team is going to be. It would have had so much spice if it was Steph and Klay and Draymond and the group that's around them now being able to play their former teammate, the guy that they had to hear, right, for the better part of 4 years. And you were, you know, only Kevin is what's really pushing you over the edge. So I would have liked to have seen a little bit of the spice there, but I do think without Klay, it's a different game. I am very excited to see the Brooklyn Nets. All right, both teams are also going to be part of the 5-game slate on Christmas Day, so let's get to that. Noon, we've got Zion and the Pelicans facing the defending Eastern Conference champs in Miami. That'll be on ESPN. And then over on ABC, Warriors-Bucks at 2:30, followed by Nets-Celtics. That is going to be Kyrie's return to Boston. And then at 8, Luka versus LeBron and Anthony Davis on both ABC and ESPN simulcast. Finally, then at 10:30 Eastern on ESPN, but just dinner time out here on the West Coast, Clippers taking on the Nuggets in a Western Conference semifinals rematch. So, Richard, if you had to pick which one, which Christmas Day game is most intriguing for you?
Ooh, honestly, that it's tough because the NBA does a great job of pairing these up. Shut up. I'm gonna say the Clippers one. You got a new coach. Paul George is talking about the amount of pick and rolls he needs. So you got a new coach. You know, your team is going to be adjusted. And the first team that you get is the team that just won 3 straight against you to put you out of the postseason. And you guys were heavily favored to win the championship. So that's the game that I'm going to be looking forward to.
Me too, Richard. I'm going with the Clippers versus the Nuggets. And here's why. Because I want to see the Clippers get a heartbeat check. I want to know if they could bounce back to a team that knocked them out, like you said, that they had down 3-1. Paul George, all the complaining about this, that, and the other. Now you have a young stud in Ty Lue. Now you have no excuses. I want to see where your heart is, where the Clippers' heart is. Is y'all going to come in and handle y'all business against the Denver Nuggets? Now, on the flip side, I want to see if the Denver Nuggets going to tell them, going to show the Clippers that this wasn't a fluke, that we own y'all. We're not scared of y'all. We could beat y'all any given time, any given day, on any given court. So I'm excited to see that game.
Well, that 10:30 game is usually like the hoop heads game, right? It's not as much for the casuals. It's more of the people who really love basketball. So that's the one you guys gravitated to. I love that they put four of those conference finalists on Christmas Day. I think if you make it to the Western or Eastern Conference Finals, you deserve to play on Christmas Day. Matchup-wise, I wouldn't have mind seeing the Clippers play the Blazers just for all the this, but I'm going to have to live without that. And maybe that's one of the games we will highlight on our schedule release show, because they will certainly be playing each other, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. We are going to talk more about the Clippers on this show, though, guys. Coming up, Paul George had some concerns about how he was used in Doc Rivers' offense last season. Is that BS or real talk? We will discuss right after this. Stick with us. I know we got some feelings, guys. I know you have feelings. It's time for another installment of America's favorite game, BS or Real Talk. First up, Paul George joined the All the Smoke podcast with our friends Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, and he spoke about the ups and downs of his first season with the Clippers. Here's the catch, though. He said his now former coach, Doc Rivers, well, you take a listen.
So when I came back into the league and started playing again, I just felt off. Like, I didn't feel like a part of the team. And then, you know, the way I was being used, I felt like I was, you know, Doc was trying to play me as like a Ray Allen or like a J.J. Redick, like all pin downs, all like I can do it, but that ain't my game. Like, you know what I mean? I need some flow. I need some mixes of pick and rolls. I need some post-ups.
All that.
Just different touches. You know what I mean?
All right, Perk. Is PG saying that Doc didn't play him in the right spot? BS or real talk? I can't tell what your answer is. It's just hard to see where you're going here. That's it?
You know what, Rachel? That's BS. Matter of fact, that's a bunch of BS. And it was a coward move by Paul George by blaming Doc Rivers for his lack of productivity and not being accountable for him not showing up on the basketball court. Because of anybody who watched the Clippers play this season and in the bubble, know that Paul George wasn't just coming off of pin downs, that he had the ball in his hands. He was able to run pick and rolls. He was able to get post-ups. Do you know this past season when Paul George had the ball in his hands, it was the most ever that he ran pick and rolls with the ball in his hands in his career. And by the way, he told another lie. I'm pretty sure about this. Listen, Doc Rivers did not treat Paul George like he was Ray Allen. Because you know why? Ray Allen not coming off of pin downs and missing wide open three-pointers. So I know that was a lie off the top. It was a cowardly move, in my opinion, and he should have been held. He should have held himself accountable and not throw Doc under the bus for him not performing the way he should have performed. Period.
Well, that's super strong, Perk, and I'm distracted by Richard not understanding where the camera is with his phone. Go ahead.
This is BS. This is the BS, and it's getting out of hand. Like, this is getting out of hand. Like, Paul George is putting himself in a position to, not necessarily to be criticized, but it's like, I have yet to hear a legitimate, like, you know what? I need to be better. I heard him say that during the postseason, and he actually corrected himself. You saw he had some really good games after struggling a little bit. He was open about struggling in the bubble. And people have given Paul George, I don't want to say a pass, because he's one of the more talented players. He's one of the best two-way players in this league. He is the reason why people, one of the reasons why that they picked, I picked him to win the championship. But when you start criticizing your coach on the way out, you could easily have just said, hey, look, you know what? It didn't work out. There were some things that, you know, there was some rhythm things. But to call out pick and rolls and then people go to the stats and say, wait, you played more pick and roll here than you ever did and a higher percentage of plays. That just shows that, like, look, at the end of the day, do I believe Paul George believes this? Yes. I believe that Paul George believes that it was Doc Rivers' fault. But ultimately, Perk and I both know this. When you're a superstar, when you have your own signature shoe from Nike, you're one of five guys with a signature shoe by Nike. Those things aren't just given out. Those are given out to the elite of the elite of the elite. You can't shoot shots off the side of the backboard in the fourth quarter after being up 3-1 in double digits in every single game. You can't talk about the coach and the rhythm and the pick and rolls. You can't do that.
Well, you guys both talked about the numbers. Here they are. We can show them. And you're right, Perk. This was a career high for him. Plays where he finished in the pick and roll, 33%. So the numbers are just the numbers there, right? Now, organizationally, and I'm not talking about specifics with Paul George, organizationally, clearly the Clippers as a whole, at least in some part, felt that Doc Rivers had blame in what happened last season because he's the one they got rid of. So that's how you know that they held him accountable. But also sometimes the coach is the easiest one to change. I think sometimes conversations like this happen when there's too much time in an offseason. I'm not sure how this managed to happen in a short offseason. But the bottom line for Paul George or anyone else on that Clippers team is that they have to be accountable this coming season. And I think the only thing that they have in their advantage on that score is if the expectations were very high going into last season. Richard, you said you picked them, right, to win a title. I don't think those expectations are that high this season, right? I mean, you guys aren't picking them as your favorite to win the title, so they could only beat them, right?
Well, the expectations should be high. The only reason why the expectations have dropped is because of their performance, right? Like, that's the key thing. It's not that somebody's injured or they lost a ton of people in free agency or they lost some. No, it's because we saw their performance or lack thereof, and so everyone's expectations have now dropped. But they are still one of the top two or three teams. If you tell me this year, with the roster that they have, if they play great, that the Clippers can win the championship, I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be like, yo, yeah, they have all the pieces there necessary to win a championship. It's just a matter of whether or not players play up to their capability. And it wasn't just Paul George. Kawhi Leonard was at fault at a lot of this too. He had a god-awful second half and a god-awful fourth quarter. So we can't just focus in on Paul George. It was the pairing of the two.
And you know what's crazy is that some of my old coaches like Doc Rivers and Sam Cassell, some of my older brothers, my family from the Celtics, even Ty Lue would call me and Rex, Coach Rex, and say, Perk, you got the Lakers to win winning the championship? That's how you feel? And I was like, yeah. For one of my many reasons is I didn't trust Paul George, and not in the crucial moments. From his history, even when you go back to Oklahoma City, I remember one game in particular. It was a closeout game in Utah, and he went, 2 for 15 from the field while Russ dropped 45. And after that, I saw his body language, and I could see it in his eyes, and I told him all season, I don't trust Paul George, and this is the reason why.
Well, look, as someone who worked sidelines for some of his games in Indiana where they went toe-to-toe with LeBron, I know that Paul George has it in him. I am interested to see what happens this coming season. When challenged, what do you do? All right, next up, let's talk about Damian Lillard. We know what he does when he's challenged. He joined hip-hop legend Fat Joe for an IG Live conversation, and he was asked about the bubble. Take a listen to what he had to say.
To me personally, the bubble was way easier because it was just like, it was really no distractions. We didn't have to travel after games. It was like, boom, boom, get up the next morning, practice all in one spot. So like our bodies was recovering faster. We was more rested. I mean, it was way easier to me. I think that's why you saw a lot of people just killing like that.
All right, guys, I want to see your emojis on both of you. What do you got? Ooh, some real talk. Give it to me, Perk. Why?
Look, one thing about it, I believe Dame Dollar is one of the realest in that the NBA has ever seen, and he has never shown me any type of BS. So if we're gonna have him on this segment, BS or real talk, it's always gonna be real talk because Dame Dollar was dropping 50s in that bubble. So I believe every word that he's saying.
I respect Dame this because all of us took a little bit of heat. When we saw these elevated numbers by so many players, right? We saw the Phoenix Suns play the best basketball that they've played in 9 years. We saw Jamal Murray. We saw Donovan Mitchell. We saw TJ Warren. We saw some amazing numbers, even the young fellas for the Miami Heat. And yep. You saw the way Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. There was something that was very simple about playing a game, going straight to your room, waking up, having all the rest, no distraction, no nothing to do, no travel, and then getting back into the gym and playing in that exact same gym again. It helped a ton of shooters. If you can mentally lock in and focus, you saw it. That's why there were numbers that we had never seen before, 50 ball after 50 ball after 50 ball from like the Denver Utah series. It was just, you just saw these amazing numbers. These guys were in the same category as like Michael Jordan. And it was just because it was a simpler way to play the game of basketball, especially for a team like Portland, that every time they get on a plane, it's 2 hours
that's
and change.
That's what I was going to say.
Every time.
It just underscores that, right?
And that's on the short end.
Yep. No, it just underscores for them that their travel is among the worst in the NBA in terms of what they have to deal with, and not having to do that totally changed the game. All right, guys, coming up, Giannis said he'd be happy if some superstars want to join him in Milwaukee. He doesn't even care who the top player is on the roster. Just come to Wisconsin, he says. We'll react next on The Jump. We discussed the Russell Westbrook for John Wall trade earlier in the show, but what does it mean for James Harden? Woj reported that Harden wants a trade to the Nets, but also that the Rockets don't see that happening. Now, on Tuesday, Kevin Durant was asked if he had talked to Harden about it. Here's what he said.
I don't know where you're making these stories up that me and James talked about any of this at a workout. Like, I don't know where that came from. And James is a friend of mine, but I let the front office handle all of that stuff. I was just so focused on working out. I heard all the noise, and I heard that, you know, James potentially wanted to come to the Nets, but anybody can make up stories. Anybody can write a story, and it gets some traction. So, you know, nothing's ever set in stone till it's set in stone. So I never thought too much about it. I just focused on myself, and my teammates probably did the same thing. You know, just move forward.
Richard, producer Steve didn't put that in BS or Real Talk segment, but I don't know. Do you believe him? And what do you think the Rush trade means for Harden's future?
No, I believe Kevin Durant because I know this, and it was that's why it was a little surprising that you know him and Kyrie teamed up in New York is because the media has a tendency to bite onto something and really run with it. He's right. He lets the front office do what he does. And that Kevin Durant that I heard right there is the same Kevin Durant that we heard towards the end of his time in Golden State, where he doesn't want to answer questions about other players. He doesn't want to answer questions about trades or free agency. He wants to get back to playing basketball. So I 100% believe him in that moment. As far as the James Harden situation goes, I what I see, and we're going to talk about Giannis, what I see from James is that, okay, it's great. I've scored a lot of points. I've made my mark. I've won my MVP. I want to win a championship now. All of that scoring and all of that stuff is secondary.
Well, Rachel, I have no comment on KD. All I'm going to do is this. I have no comment whether I believe him or not. I'm going to leave that up in the air. But I will say this about James Harden's situation with the Rockets. The Rockets are not about to give him up right now. And they're going to try to hold this thing out. And from what I'm hearing is they're going to try to have a trial run for like the first half of the season or maybe the first 25 games to see how it goes. Now, what you should be looking for is looking at what the Philadelphia 76ers are doing 25 games in, and then look at what the Rockets are doing 25 games in. If it's not working well with James Harden and John Wall, I expect Daryl Morey to be aggressive in pursuing James Harden. Trust me.
Well, this James Harden.
Wait, real quick. No. So, like, let's say again, Philly would most likely want to not give up, you know, Joel Embiid, or let's say, because then you would think John Wall and Ben Simmons. You couldn't trade Ben Simmons for James Harden. So I don't know. I put Philly on the outside of that list only from the standpoint of, you know, Joel Embiid would really be the only major star, because if you tried to pair Ben Simmons with John Wall, that's not a match that anyone wants to see.
And I get that, RJ, but we're talking about Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey is known to pull rabbits out the hat. So don't just think of it as just Ben Simmons. It could be a three-team trade or whatever the case may be, but he's going to pursue James Harden if the Rockets are 25, 30 games in and not doing well. Trust me.
Well, this is going to be an interesting case study with the Houston Rockets and James Harden in this age of player empowerment. The team obviously built everything around James, gave him the Supermax, and then last year made a trade for Russell Westbrook that, frankly, some of the front office wouldn't, but let's just say they wouldn't have made it if it was up to them. And yet now he wants to be traded somewhere else, and he's got 2 years left on his deal. How much they decide to cater to what he wants, how he decides to play while he is still in Houston, this is going to be very interesting to watch. Now, just a friendly reminder on one of the other player moves we're looking at. Giannis and the Bucks have until December 21st to work out a possible Supermax extension. The two-time MVP was interviewed while he was on vacation in Greece. And this is interesting. When asked about the idea of teaming up with other superstars, well, he talked about playing with them, but in Wisconsin. He said, "This is a statement I have never made before. If LeBron and Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis came to Milwaukee, I would have been good with that." He said, "I'm not interested if I have to be the top. I don't care if I'm the second or third name, okay? Because I just want to win. And if I got LeBron, KD, Davis, if all of those came, I wouldn't mind at all. I don't care if I'm the top player on the team." So, Kendrick, I first of all, if you're a Bucks fan, you got to love that he's talking about, sure, let's talk about superstar team-ups, but in Milwaukee. What do those comments signal to you about Giannis and how he sees his place in the NBA?
Well, it just solidified why I picked the Miami Dade County Goons to beat them last year in the bubble, because I knew that Giannis wasn't ready for this big moment and to be the number one guy. And all he did was stamp that by saying what he said today.
Perk.
That's not true. Look, first of all, I got a lot of heat for saying he was a Pippin. Pip yelled at me. That's my guy. I apologize. But ultimately, what he's saying here is that, look, I just want to win. It's very similar. If James Harden knows that if he goes with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, there is no 35 points a game at the top of the key ISO. It's all about like having to move the ball. Giannis just wants to win. We believe that Giannis wants that. But do we believe that other superstars are willing to go? And the last thing I'll say, Giannis doesn't want to go team up with somebody. He doesn't want to be viewed as the type of guy that had to go someplace to win. So he's inviting people to come there. So it's the exact same thing, Giannis. I hate to break it to you. If you ask Bron or ask Anthony Davis to come to Milwaukee, or if you go join up with them, there is no difference. There is
you guys are both, I am confused about this, because all we say we want players to be is good teammates. And what Steph Curry did when Kevin Durant came was really, really, really hard. And he did it. He didn't say, I have to be number one, all of that. And guess what? It worked. They were in the finals for 5 years. They won three titles. I know one was without KD. But the point is, that was an example of superstar ego taking a backseat to winning team concept. Don't we want that from
there's a difference. Rachel, I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying that for a long time, the narrative has been is that Giannis is not going to go team up with somebody else. He wants to be the best player. He is a two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, only one of three players that have ever won both in the same year. And he's now trying to say it doesn't matter to him if he's the first or second best player. He should be trying to be the best player in the world. He's won the MVPs. He's won all of the awards. But now he's inviting other players, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with him inviting other players. But you know what, Giannis? If you pack your bag and go join up with one of those guys, it's the exact same thing. If you win a championship, but go ahead, Bert, before I get all hot.
But Rachel, with Steph was already a championship up when he invited KD to his team and to his city and to his culture. So it's a difference. All I'm saying to Giannis is that, like Richard was saying, you're in the category with Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan for the only player to win Defensive Player of the Year and the MVP. Own that. It's okay to be the man. It's okay to be the man. Don't ever go backwards and say that I'd be okay with being a number two or number three option. No.
Y'all keep moving the bar. Be the man. You keep moving the finish line. You keep moving the bar.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. Yes. Every day is going to be moved again tomorrow.
All right. Before we go, I want to congratulate our teammate David Fizdale and his wife Natasha on the birth of their first child. Shout out Coach Fiz. Maximilian Soul Fizdale. Great first name. He was born yesterday, weighed in at just over 8 pounds. Pretty good, guys, right?
Look at that. Look at Fizz.
I like the shirt.
50 years old, Fizz. Still powering through. Good job, bud.
Oh, I feel sorry for Lil Fizz. He going to be doing 1-2 pull-ups next year.
I love it. I love the shirt in the picture. Fizz, I am your father. I mean, come on. That was amazing.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Kirk and Richard. Guys, again, The Jump will be back tomorrow. Our schedule release special. You want to find out about all the games and what's happening? Tune in right here at ESPN, 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific. See you then.